Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. Get on the show. Call 280-CATS. That's 280-2287. Or toll free at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Big Blue Insider is brought to you by UK Healthcare. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
It's Friday. Glad to have you along in a warm and muggy day, and that's just here in the studio, isn't it, Curtis? Air conditioning still missing from, and Curtis, from best I can tell, two rooms, yours and mine.
Well, it is in the, doesn't work in the other studios as well.
We don't care about that, do we?
Well, there are no people in those studios right now.
Well, Steve's working in production over there. We care about that.
Yeah.
Other than that, we're baking. But we're not complaining. Why? Because we love show business, and we love talking to you. 280-2287, tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Much to discuss. You know, we don't have the pressing news today that we had yesterday. Now, do we? Now, the next chapter in the U of L story, and again, not taking any glee in it, but a lot of Kentucky fans are, I know that, is the appeal. And the Courier-Journal has published through Jeff Greer a story about the chances U of L has with an infractions appeal. We'll get to that here in our first segment. But I will tell you tonight we are going to talk about the NBA draft. And if you're not interested in the draft big picture, well, this will be as it pertains to the Wildcats. 1 week from tonight, at least three Kentucky players, former now Kentucky players, will become very wealthy. There is news on the draft front about who will draft first, second, third, that kind of stuff, or budding news. It might be happening. There could be a trade. And Rex Chapman's going to join us a little bit later on. Who knows Kentucky basketball and the NBA better than Rex Chapman? There's nobody.
Pat Riley.
No. Pat Riley knows UK basketball in the 60s. You know, all the old people you find so distasteful, well, that's where that would fit in. If he walked in here, you would disrespect him, wouldn't it?
Because no, he's so old. Not Pat Riley.
He's so old.
Nah, Pat Riley.
What are you doing in here, old man?
Pat Riley, I think, could still take me.
I would say that's probably true. At any rate, Rex is going to join us a little bit later on, talk about how he sees the Wildcats fitting into the draft, and we'll get him to talk about Golden State and Cleveland.
And I'll ask why he hates LeBron James.
And then you can tell him why you hate Draymond Green. I'm going to sit back, put the feet up, and listen to that one, quite frankly. That's going to be a lot of fun. Bottom of the hour, Champ Kelly is going to join us. Champ is a friend of the show. He's been with us many times. He is part of the front office now for the Chicago Bears. He is in town with the annual Champ Camp. And some of you out there might have kids who are going to the Champ Camp right now. So we'll get a chance to talk some NFL with Champ, get the chance to talk to him about what's going on at his alma mater. And in a moment, we'll talk more Kentucky football. We will also hear later on from it's weird to say this now, the former voice of Kentucky baseball and UK women's basketball, Neil Price, now the voice of Mississippi State sports. He will be broadcasting football and men's basketball and eventually baseball at Mississippi State starting next year. And Neil is a good friend, but I am so happy for him. I will miss working with him and having lunch with him and commiserating, and we'll still get him on the radio show now and then, but he is going to work for his old buddy John Cohen, who is now the AD at Mississippi State and was the head baseball coach when Neil got started here.
And you know, it's weird.
What?
I mean, you think about you being in these situations and you're not realizing in the moment what's happening, but I was in Louisville. We were both in Louisville for the Super Regional.
Yeah.
And after the game, I went up to the press box because we had the overflow seating, and so I went to the press box where the AC was pumping.
And the peanuts.
Yes, and the free peanuts. To upload my video, and as I set up there in an open seat, Neil walked out, and I said, Neil, you need any help with anything? Nope, I got it. And he walked out, and I'm thinking back, I'm like, that was Neil's last broadcast with UK.
Exactly right.
And it was just kind of, I had just thought about it in this moment.
And it ended in a super regional for Neil, like it did for everybody on the beat and, of course, the Wildcats. But he got to broadcast a regional championship. He got to broadcast an SEC title. That was way back in 06. And then he got a chance to broadcast that regional championship game, which you heard right here on 630 WLAP. So we'll talk to Neil in our next hour about that and just his thoughts and his memories of what. And, you know, Neil called that historic game in Rupp Arena when Kentucky finally broke through and beat top-ranked Tennessee and Pat Summitt. And ESPN used the TV video, of course, but Neil's call on the final play. So, you know, he's done a lot of good stuff here, and, again, we'll miss him. But very, very happy for Neil. Now, before we talk a little bit of football, we will tell you that the U of L fortunes in NCAA, in the world of NCAA penalties, now hinge on their appeal. And yesterday they said that they believe they'll win it. Rick Pitino said he believes the school will win the appeal because it's right. So Jeff Greer did a nice piece for Courier Journal. You can read it at careerjournal.com. And basically looked into the history of NCAA infractions and appeals. And he quoted a story out of the Syracuse Post-Standard 2 years ago. And, of course, Syracuse appealed. And that story found that parties successfully appealed 24 times out of 73. So basically 1 for 3, which in baseball puts you in the Hall of Fame. In the history of NCAA infractions, not a lot of smiling faces. That's between the years 02 and 2015. And it says here many of the successful appeals resulted in, quote, small portions of the penalties being removed, but to that point in time, the success rate slimmed to 3 winning appeals in 21 of the most recent cases. So it overall, over the last 73 tries, 24 successful. Over the last 21 tries, only 3, which tells you one of two things. They've either gotten tougher with appeals, or they've actually done a better job when it comes to identifying the infractions and applying the proper penalties. Now, it does say 2 years after that, the success rate of appeals slightly improved again without many significant results. One of 2 sanctioned schools successfully appealed rulings that impacted the institution as a whole. 2 of 3 charged individuals, at least, partially succeeded in appealing decisions. One of those was Hawaii. One of those was Syracuse. Remember now, Pitino, the only... Am I right about that, Curtis? I think I am. Pitino, the only individual who was hit with penalties beyond the show cause for a guy who's not there anymore.
Well, there was another assistant got one as well.
He's not there anymore, though.
No, well, 2 of them. There's 2.
Right.
There's McGee and
that's
then...
What I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, you're
the
correct.
The one unnamed assistant, mm-hmm. Yeah. Andre McGee will never coach at least at a power conference again. Never. Now, he might somehow work his way back into basketball somewhere, some way. Look, Dave Bliss, who did one of the most despicable things in the history of college athletics in trying to cover up a true crime at Baylor, eventually worked his way back in to coaching basketball in some way, but then just recently had to step down from the position. That's a long story. But anyhow, it doesn't matter that – I mean, it does, but it doesn't – that Andre McGee has a 10-year show cause because he'll never coach at the college level again. He may get a high school job somewhere, but I can't imagine an AD that would want to put up with that. Because if you're, let's say you're a high school athletics director and you hire the guy, how many parents will send their children to work for this guy knowing that he set up not illegally underage, but underage guys with hookers? You know, come on, much less a college program. So, anyhow, Pitino, the one individual still on staff at UK at the U of L, and the rest is institutional. So you got tired of waiting on this. You only have to wait for 45 more days, folks. It'll be here before you know it. If you're reveling in the misery, you only have to wait for 45 more days. But there's been more talk, of course, about what's going on with North Carolina. But I've seen a lot more than we talked about Pat Forty's story yesterday. I've seen a lot of reaction and heard a lot of reaction from people in the media, in sports in general, not just fans, who believe they're still going to get hit. Now, a lot of people don't. For whatever reason, a lot of people still think North Carolina is going to get off scot-free. And again, as I said, if they do that, If they allow North Carolina to completely skate, they should just stop investigating stuff in the NCAA and declare open season for everybody. I will say this, though, unless they take down, and I'm not saying they should, but I have a feeling that among Kentucky fans, unless they take down banners and put Roy Williams to shame, that won't be enough for UK fans. I'm not sure why that's so important to Kentucky fans.
Well, it's the, now they have to rationalize Calipari's banners coming down.
That's right.
And I mean, that's kind of what it boils down to. And so basically now everybody's going to be, if it happens to Roy Williams, almost everybody outside of Krzyzewski is going to be in the same boat.
But I find it interesting that that never happened to Calipari here.
Yeah.
And Kentucky fans pointed fingers at him until he got here.
Hell.
You know. Now, as I said, looking into and researching and investigating what actually happened at these schools, I will say forever, Calipari deserves none of the, in my opinion, none of the blame and credit on the UMass deal. I have no idea what happened with Memphis. So I'd hate to sound naive because so much of that was left uncovered. In the documentary on Calipari, yeah, I thought it explained fairly well what happened with UMass. I was disappointed that there wasn't a stronger reaction from Calipari. Maybe there was, and the producer decided not to use it. Maybe he didn't ask him. Maybe Calipari decided not to talk about it. I was waiting for that soundbite from Calipari to say, man, we got screwed on that deal. But he just moved on from it. And I guess more power to him. You know, same deal with Memphis. He told Derrick Rose, we'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So, for whatever that's worth. When we come back, we're going to talk Kentucky football. This is the time of year that the so-called experts, including Curtis and me, kind of do some projections, try to figure out what's going to happen this year. Look, there's nothing much else to talk about when you talk about SEC football. But SECCountry.com, I've bragged on this website for a while. And look, a lot of people are doing great stuff. And by the way, Jen Smith has written a Father's Day profile about the patriarch of the Stoops family of coaches. I urge you to go to Kentucky.com and read it or pick up a Herald Leader this weekend. 280-228-7800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Bottom of the hour, Champ Kelly. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Rex Chapman to talk about the Wildcats and the draft. Your calls and tweets are welcome here on 630 WLAP. The heat is on. Yes, it is. On the street. Not outside either. Inside your head. All over me. It's everywhere. Here in this, I didn't think this building could get this hot. But we'll get through it somehow. And maybe by Monday when we're back. But can you imagine if it's like this on Sunday morning? Is Berger working Sunday or is he off?
Yeah, he's here. Oh, he'll be here.
Are you going to be here? You working?
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Hopefully it's not that bad in the early morning.
I would think not. But you just, you know, just going to have to soldier through, as we say. 280-228-7800-606-4263. You can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Lots to talk about today, and we're going to get to some Kentucky football here. And, well, let's do that right now. Do we need to take this call here? Oh, it is Wendell? Oh, Wendell was first last night. How you doing, Wendell?
I am doing well, sir. I just wanted to say goodbye to Mr. Neil Price.
Yeah.
Enjoyed listening to him. Call the women's games over the last 10 years, listen to most of them. He's got a great voice. And one talent that he has that a lot of people do not have is the ability to sit and talk to nothing. he did most of the broadcasts by himself.
That's right.
And it was really weird when he did the men's games to hear him talking to somebody, but he would sit and just ramble on. I imagine he's pretty easy to... He plays well when he's by himself, so to speak, in that he just talks away.
Yeah, and picks up on the little things, as you know, and he'll spin a yarn. He'll quote Jerry Clower if when the time calls for it. So, yeah, he's got a lot of ability, and it's a great point, Wendell. He will work with color commentators for the first time on a regular basis in his career, but I think that'll make him a better broadcaster. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, that being said, if you can get Rex Chapman to stop singing on the pregame shows, I'll start listening again. Take care.
I'll do my best, Wendell. Thank you. 280-228-7. Not in my – that's above my pay grade, but I'll pass along the comment at any rate.
Did you read Barnstorm's tweet?
Yes, I did. That's where I was going to save it. Well, we'll repeat it when Neil comes up, but go ahead and read it.
So the trade is complete with Neil Price going to MSU, Mangione to UK for Henderson, and a player to be named later.
Even Steven, I say that evened up pretty well. And my buddy Scott Wilson, congratulations to Neil. Another ladder rung. And listen now, this is a ladder rung that basically takes him to the top. If you're an SEC play-by-play guy, you're at the top. Way to go. Hope you are extremely busy. As Scott says, it is Starkville after all. Look, Starkville is a tiny, tiny town, but it's when university's in session, it's pretty vibrant. So, you know, Neil's from a small town in Tennessee. He'll be fine. He'll be great. So, and he'll do a great job. But like I said, we'll talk to Neil in our next hour, but we thought we'd talk a little bit of football. Now, look, there's a story on, and I quote SECCountry.com a lot, and I've never met the guy. I want to get him on the show. I haven't had a chance to, but Shehan Jeyaraja is the general columnist for SEC Country.
I want to get him on just so we know for sure how to pronounce his name.
That's a great point. I think I've done okay, but who knows?
No, I think
he'll tell us.
You do much better than I would.
But the headline, I think, is a little misleading. Did you see that article?
No.
Games each SEC coach needs to win to avoid hot seat. So he goes through and breaks down. You know, but it makes it sound like you have to win this game in order to avoid the hot seat. Well, in fact, what the headline should say is number of games. Because I immediately, of course, go to Mark Stoops, and I'm thinking he's going to say, you know, Louisville or whatever, or Southern Miss. But in fact, it's how many wins. And the spoiler alert is 7 for Mark Stoops. And that's probably fair.
I mean,
that at least matches what they did last year.
When I have a current hot seat, literal, this term hot seat is just funny to me because if he wins 6 games, he's going to be fine next season. I think the 6 is more the bowl. Getting to a bowl again is the most important thing.
I agree, but I think there will be grumbles.
There's always grumbles.
Well, there are, but I'm talking
about... I mean, there's grumbles about Calipari.
There are grumbles, well, yeah, but there are grumbles and there are grumbles. And I think that there will be some unhappiness. Some people grumble just because they like it.
That's very true.
But, yeah, I think 7 wins plus a bowl, you know, like Curtis said, a bowl win, I think will keep people... They got to. I just think you have to just keep doing better than you did last year. He points out, and I had forgotten about this, he said 2 games into the 2016 season, UK fans were raising money through GoFundMe to buy out Stoops' contract. I don't think that was really too widespread, but I do remember hearing or reading something
about
that
on
social media. Yeah.
Just takes one fool to set something up like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So, anyway, Kirby Smart, he says, going to take 9 wins. McElwain at Florida, he thinks it's only going to take 8 wins. To keep him off the hot seat. Butch Jones at Tennessee, he said he thinks it's going to take 9. So interesting. SEC.
Butch Jones is he's the most interesting one, I think, coaching-wise this year because, I mean, he's kind of polarizing at this point.
You talk about grumbling. That's right. What are you thinking of grumbling in Knoxville?
Well, that's the weird thing. Like, you're either kind of, in my limited interaction with Tennessee fans, it's either they're all on board with Butch Jones and they'll defend him no matter what.
Right.
And to the point where if you say it's possible for Kentucky to beat Tennessee this year, they're going to throw out stats at you for the next 5 hours on your Twitter feed. But if you say Butch Jones is a great coach, they'll say, well, you know, he needs to do better, you know. So they kind of play both sides of the argument there.
And if you think that's speculation from Curtis, go back and look at some of his old tweets.
Yeah.
I implore you. One other note before we hit the break, the news break, that is. There is a story on there about potential upsets every week of the SEC season. Same author. He's been a busy guy. And believe it or not, UK fans, he points out a potential upset of Kentucky versus Florida. Points out, of course, it's the longest in the history of the SEC, that losing streak. But points out that could be an upset on September 23rd. And then again, points at the UK-Tennessee game because Tennessee lost its leading rusher, passer, and receiver in the same offseason, and a lot of good defenders are gone to the NFL. I like the Wildcats' chances there as well. Champ Kelly to talk more football on the other side of the news break here on 630 WLAP. Yes, it is. I'm going to have to tune in Sunday morning just to hear Mark Berger complain about this heat. I think we've been pretty good about dealing with it. We're tough. We're made of tough stuff, Curtis.
I'm getting kind of fed up with it.
You spend a lot more time in that hot room than I do. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. And I told you we talked some football. And as if you've listened to the show, and we thank you, you know I'm a proud shareholder in the Green Bay Packers and a huge Packers fan. So my next guest should be a mortal enemy of mine since he's with the Chicago Bears. But we've known each other way too long. So let me bring in Champ Kelly of the Chicago Bears. Anthony Kelly, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And first of all, let's talk, before we talk Kentucky football and NFL, let's talk about the Champ Camp. How are things going? I just saw some highlights on the news. Looks like you got a pretty good crowd.
Things are awesome. We have over 100 kids. We got solid coaching staff, and you know we're just having a lot of fun. Instilling the core values of Champ: character, heart, attitude, motivation, pride, and allowing these kids to run around and have fun for a couple of days.
And every time we talk to Champ, he reminds us that the camp is not named after him. It's named after those five characteristics that they're trying to instill in these young people. And what always impresses me, Champ, is you the same teammates come out every year. Your former teammates, still your friends, and they give of themselves, and they really love it, don't they?
No doubt. Like, you know, the thing that's impressive is, you know, we aren't paid, so these coaches aren't getting any money. A lot of them fly from other locations to be here, and they just want to invest into this community because of what this community meant to us and how it embraced us, you know, during our time here. And that speaks measures about, you know, Big Blue and our fans here. And it speaks measures about the character of the guys that, you know, we've brought into this football program.
You know, I just got to thinking about this. You know, this is Father's Day weekend, and it obviously means something different to everybody. And I've got to think there may be a few young kids who maybe are from single-parent families. And I've got to think that this might be some great exposure for them to some, you know, mature guys that they look up to. And what kind of a positive effect it might have on them this weekend?
No doubt. I'm a big believer that you are a summation of your mentors, right? And I don't believe that you can consistently reach people unless you model what you're trying to teach. And so these men that we're able to present and put forward to these campers are model type men. Yeah. You know, they are good husbands, good fathers, good sons, and they want nothing more than to see these kids successful. And they are here strictly to instill into them things that are going to make them successful, not just on the field, but in life in general. And so, you know, that kid may not have the father at home. He may not have the support structure as some other kids, but he can realize that somebody loves him and somebody cares about him and somebody in their same situation or had a situation similar to them, they made it out and they made a difference. And that's what we try to provide for these kids.
That is extremely well put by Anthony Champ Kelly, who's my guest right now. And I guarantee you that's why your buddies just love working the Champ Camp every year. And as you said, they're doing it because they love it, and they love you, and they love football. One other question about youth football, Champ, and I think we've talked about this before, but your sport is under the microscope now because of injuries and things like that. And I know that things are changing about how the sport is taught to youngsters, just to make sure that they are as safe as possible. What is that like for you, a guy who has realized such a terrific life? You've got a wonderful wife, a wonderful family, a wonderful career, thanks to football and the hard work you put into it. What does all this mean to a guy like you?
You know, I'll answer this twofold. Football, to me, was a lifesaver. Football provided me with an opportunity to express myself in a different way, and it gave me a way out of my current situation when I didn't have another way out. So I respect and I love that game. And I think that, you know, for the parent or for the kid who are concerned about this sport, like, I take it upon myself, and I know others are in the same situation, to be ambassadors of this sport and to make sure that we are constantly educating ourselves so that we can properly teach the youth so that they know how to play this game safely and effectively, because this sport means so much. I think it parallels life. You know, everything, you have quarters in life, you have seasons in life. You're going to get hit in the face sometimes, you know, but you got to be able to persevere. You got to be able to fight through it. And this game teaches that. But, yes, we have to be able to get the game instructed properly so that parents and so that kids will not only just see, you know, the injury aspect of it, but they can also see the benefits that you can gain from it. And so, you know, I constantly work to educate myself so that I know how to tackle properly. I learn how to deal with heat and heat exhaustion.
Yeah, yeah.
I learn how to, you know, handle different types of injuries because I want to be able to teach coaches so that those coaches can reach other kids, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You are a wide receiver and a defensive back during your career, so you know both sides of that going over the middle kind of collision. And rules have changed at every level, really, about that kind of thing. Are you okay with where we all are on that, especially in the NFL?
I am okay. You know, I think that as time passes, we have to continually be willing to modify and adapt our game, you know, so that it becomes more safe. And I think that, you know, especially in our league, we, you know, we've taken, you know, added precaution, and guys have researched a ton about how to keep players healthy, because you want the longevity, and you want those guys, once the game is over, to be able to, you know, have health and be taken care of. So I'm a proponent of making sure that the game is safe and is taught safe, and, you know, years and decades, and I want this game to still be played and to still be factoring in the kids' life like it did for me.
Champ Kelly joining us, the director of pro scouting for the Chicago Bears. Prior to that, he spent more than 8 years with the Denver Broncos and helped build the foundation for a Super Bowl championship team before moving on to Chicago. If you wouldn't mind, Champ, and I have you do this every year, but explain to the folks listening what exactly you do for the Bears.
So scouting in general in the NFL is broken up into two sections. You have college scouting and you have pro scouting. College scouts are what people typically think about when you say scouting. Those are the guys who live across the country, and all fall they travel from college to college gathering information about potential draft prospects.
Right.
And they submit reports in and everything. Well, pro scouts, we are in the office and, you know, mostly every day. Like, we're in-house guys, just like the coaches. And we evaluate film on the other 31 NFL teams to prepare for free agency, for trades. You know, we handle the advanced scout. So, you know, if we're playing the opponent, the Green Bay Packers, for instance, you know, we send a scout out the week prior to find out any information that we can about Green Bay, and we present that back to the coaches. So, you know, that's typically what I'm doing every day, is I'm evaluating prospects and trying to find guys that fit the type of character and person that we're looking for as a Chicago Bear.
I hope everybody understands that now, and that it's quite an involved process, but you guys never sleep, you never rest, do you, in trying to make your team better? That's all part of trying to be successful. A new chapter of Bears football coming up, a new quarterback. And now, I'm not sure who it's going to be. You might not know as well, but what are your thoughts on going into the season with such a big change?
I'm excited about the season in general. Like, we have a lot of very good football players. We've evaluated and added guys that we feel are high character guys that are going to affect the community, and that's at every position. So I've always attacked scouting and every season like I've attacked life. And every day is a game day, and I'm out to win every day. And so, you know, I tell this to the campers. I tell it to the guys at the Chicago Bears. I tell it to the scouts. I'm consistent in my approach. And you know, we're excited to earn the opportunity to win games in this league. And that's what we're working toward right now.
Danny Trevathan, of course, with the Bears now. Did you have anything to do with him coming from Denver to Chicago?
Did I have anything to do with him coming from Denver to Chicago?
Yeah.
I like to think so.
In what way? Did you go to management or did you go to him or what? How did that? Well, you couldn't really go to him, could you?
No, I couldn't. I put it like this. Like, you know, when you go through the evaluation process and scouting, obviously you look for guys with a certain level of skill in order to play the position. You also look, you know, we have positional parameters that we look at. We have critical factors and major factors that we look at for every one of our players. You know, but when you have a chance to add a guy that, you know, your coaching staff and also your personnel staff are both familiar with and comfortable with, you know, that's always advantageous when you get to free agency, because free agency is, you know, it can be very dangerous.
Yeah.
And you can't, it's tough to come back from a mistake that you make in free agency, so you better choose wisely.
Champ, this is Curtis, and you've been in this business for a few years now. I'm just kind of curious, how much has technology changed everything you guys do now?
Oh, technology is paramount. You know, I tell everybody, like, my background is so diverse, and I've been so blessed. My undergrad degree is in computer science, and I started off working at IBM. And so now, you know, there's so much analytics and so much research. We're trying out virtual reality this year for a quarterback. So there's a constant evolution of tools, technology that enhances and enriches what we do in scouting and also in coaching. You know, so it's not writing down on the yellow notepad as much anymore as it is, you know, typing on a surface. Technology has definitely advanced over the time. One more thing. When I first got into the league, we were using beta tape, and so I would have to timestamp beta tape, and you know, take a sheet to make cutups. And I was telling Coach Fox that one day, and Coach was like, "Hey, when I first started, we was using film reel.
Oh.
So when they said cut tape, we literally had to cut the tape.
To
tape it back on. You know, so you know, it's come a long way. Now I can, you know, turn on film and tag a play, and it automatically creates a cut-up for me. Like, it's unbelievable."
Champ, the first TV story I ever did as an intern was film, and I had to wear the white gloves and a razor blade and glue. So I tell Coach Fox I know exactly what that feels like. And now you can, you know, click this and that on your computer and download video that they just put up on the West Coast. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Now, but football still comes back to blocking and tackling, doesn't it? That's the beauty of it.
You know what? It's simple, but not easy.
Right.
And that's what I like to tell everybody. You know, like, this isn't rocket science. We haven't invented anything. We're not saving anybody's life. It's simple, but it's not easy, because you got other people, you know, trying to impose your will. Trying to impose their will on you, and you got other beautiful minds, you know, drawing up concepts and schemes, and everybody has a beautiful plan until you get punched.
Mike Tyson.
You know, so simple but not easy.
Well, before I let you go, and I know I've seen you on campus, I know you've been over there, you've seen the facilities at UK, and they just tweeted, one of the internet sites, Rivals, Justin Rowland, that a big-time Michigan linebacker, DeAndre Square, is committed to Kentucky. So we keep getting news like that, Champ. You all did good things here. They've obviously improved facilities. Mark Stoops is doing an unbelievable job, he and his staff, with recruiting. What are your thoughts on what's happening at your alma mater right now?
I'm totally excited about what's going on. This offseason, I had a chance to travel to a few universities, a few of the top universities, and, you know, go to some pro days. But, you know, when I went into, you know, our new facility, you know, we rival any other facilities across the country. And I'm proud of what, you know, administration is doing and allowing us to get those types of facilities, and that's why we're landing some of these types of recruits. But also it's a testament to Coach Stoops and, you know, his staff over there. And I think they're bringing in some tough and gritty players that are growing into their bodies, and they're able to, you know, compete at a high level.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what the future holds for this new Wildcat look.
Well, I can tell you this, as we part company, you are from Florida, grew up in a very small town, but the Gators, a bunch of Florida Gators administrators and coaches visited recently, and I'm told they were blown away. They were blown away by what they saw on the UK campus, and evidently some Clemson people came through, had a similar reaction. The only thing I'm told the Clemson people said was, well, at our facility, we have a putt-putt golf course, and you don't have that. I think Kentucky's going to be more than happy to concede on that point, but looks like things are happening. Champ, always a pleasure talking to you. Looking forward to seeing you at some point during the fall, and I'm happy to hear you and the family are doing well.
Thank you guys for having us and always supporting us. There's still another day of Champ Camp left, so if any of you guys out there want to send your kids or want to come out there and check it out, we'll be at Tate's Creek tomorrow from 8 to 1.
And they can just show up, right?
Come get it in.
8 to 1, Tate's Creek High School. Tomorrow you'll get some terrific instruction. I'm sorry I didn't bring it up earlier. I thought you guys were all full, but so there's room for more and a chance to learn from some of the best. Champ, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Y'all take care.
Take care. Love talking to Champ Kelly. He's very uplifting, isn't he?
Cracking me up with the beta.
And to me, here we go, old guy. I remember at KYT when we switched to beta, and we were like 2 years late. We were like, thank you, finally. And then almost immediately we went to digital stuff. So anyhow, it's just incredible. We'll come back and talk more SEC football in just a minute here on 630 WLAP. It was the heat of the moment. We've had a lot of them. And we're not whining, are we, Curtis? We're just saying.
I'm just pointing it out.
Hot in here.
Maybe the bosses are listening.
We're giving you the weather. We give you news, weather, and sports. And the weather in this studio, and especially in Curtis's studio, when you go through the bulletproof glass.
Let me check on my temperature.
Please. Are you eyewitnessing it?
86 degrees.
86 degrees. Not sure what it is in here. What did you just check your phone?
No, I have a thermostat in here.
Oh, okay.
But see, it doesn't work. Just the only working part of it is to tell me how hot it is.
Attaboy. Yeah, it cannot help him cool it up. Mine's on the other side of the room, so I'll have to check it during the break. Thanks again to Champ Kelly for joining us on our celebrity hotline. And we mentioned the news of the recruit who committed to the Wildcats on Twitter. He didn't commit on Twitter. We got the news.
Well, actually he did.
Did he?
Yep.
Okay, well, good.
He put out a statement. First off, I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity to play football. I also want to thank my parents for being there for me. Last, I want to thank my coaches for coaching me up and showing me the ropes. With all that said, I had a long talk with coaches and family and decided I will be committing to the University of Kentucky.
Yahtzee. Right? Isn't that a Yahtzee moment?
Yeah, very much so. And in his, that's, you know how they do that nowadays. They like type out a message and that's a picture. But in the tweet it said, ain't this what they've been waiting for?
Pretty cool.
And then it was his commitment.
Pretty cool. Speaking of Twitter, Dick Vitale has weighed in. And he is replying to Mike DeCourcy, our friend from the Sporting News, and a couple of other people regarding the U of L scandal and the penalties. And Vitale said, here's a shocker. And again, as I've said, I don't believe that Pitino knew what was going on. But he said, but Vitale's never met a coach who was guilty of anything.
Yep.
Never. For what the NCAA found relative to him, it seems reasonable. NCAA found, talking about McGee, the NCAA found zero on Pitino. What McGee did, in all caps, despicable and disgraceful. Now, one guy tweeted at Valvano, Pitino barely got a slap on the wrist. Mike DeCourcy said, for what the NCAA found relative to him, it seems reasonable. I can go along with that. So many layers. And again, 45 days until the appeal is in. Rex Chapman's next, 630 WLAP.
Big Blue Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. Get on the show. Call 280-CATS. That's 280-2287. Or toll free at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Big Blue Insider is brought to you by UK Healthcare. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome back to the show. Hour number two of our program. Coming up in 1 week, it is the NBA draft, and there is obviously more interest in the draft here in Central Kentucky, really throughout the Big Blue Nation, than there ever has been before, because of John Calipari and his success. More interest in the NBA, probably on an individual note. I don't know how many people are rooting for more teams, but they certainly now root for more players, and we will find out the immediate future of at least three and maybe more Wildcats, former Wildcats, a week from now. And who better to break it down than a guy who has seen them play every game of their college career for the most part and knows the NBA as well as anybody, and that is Mr. Rex Chapman. He joins us now on our Celebrity Hotline. How are you, sir?
What's going on, Dick? How's everything?
Well, Curtis and I talk a little baseball, football, basketball.
Curtis told me you're burning up on that side of the building.
Oh, man. You haven't been here in a while. The AC broke down, brother. And the studio where you do your NBA show, man.
I'd have had to bail.
Yeah, but well, for Curtis and me, there's no such options. But we did want to talk some NBA draft and a little bit of playoff with you. First of all, the word on the street is that, I say that like I'm some kind of hustler, is that there could be some movement, some trade action at the top of the draft. Do you really think that's real, that Boston and Philly might swap picks?
I think, I think anything's on the table with Danny at number one. I said when I saw him get the pick, a month or so ago, I said there's no way Danny doesn't come out of this with the guy he wants and a veteran player. And I think that's what we're seeing, is he's probably exploring every single option. He's possibly determined the guy that he really wants will be available at three. And if you can, if you can pretty much assure yourself of that before the draft, then maybe you can go out and get, Dario Saric or Okafor or, a veteran veteran big from the Sixers and still get your guy at three. So I think there's a lot on the table. I texted with Brian Colangelo last night. He said he had Malik and De'Aaron in and loves both of those guys.
Yeah.
So, I think there's a lot of balls up in the air, and there's also a lot of misinformation, time of year. The next week is just going to be a lot of rumors flying around everywhere. And it's a nerve-wracking time a little bit for the players. But, in a week, they're all going to have a really exciting night.
There's going to be a lot of BS out there, I know. But that's all part of the NBA smokescreen, isn't it? So
that's right.
You have to sift through it, guys who work the beat. if they flip-flop, Rex, I got to think that means, obviously, De'Aaron Fox will not be the point guard for Philly, right?
I would think so. But, it seems like they would take whoever they want at one, and I've got to think that it's either Fultz or Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
They've zeroed in on, and, I've said from the get-go that I believe Josh is the best player in the draft. If you're not drafting for position need, he's the most versatile guy. He's the biggest guy, 6'8", long, lanky, plays defense, he blocks shots. He can guard in this league at the 1-4 position. He doesn't have great, he shot 37% from the three-point line this last year, but, he shot something like 60 from the free throw line. So he's got an issue with his shot. It's not broken, but I'm not sure how much further he's going to be able to increase his range. I say that, and yet, we see our guy Rajon making threes now. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting. I really like Josh Jackson. I don't know Fultz as well. I haven't, I didn't see him play enough live. But Josh is really good. And I'm really excited to see where De'Aaron Malik, and especially Bam. I think we're going to end up with three guys in the lottery.
Really?
I personally do.
Yeah.
Now, that's where I would have them.
Yeah.
I don't see any way on earth Bam out of bio falls below 20.
Wow.
I think he's, you know, I think he's a, to me, he's Al Horford-like. He's Nene-like in that he's going to play forever. He's durable.
Yeah.
He's, you know, you saw him play. We saw him play last year, Dick. He never once took a playoff.
No.
He's conscientious. He plays with integrity. He's just going to keep getting better and better. And he's 6'10", 263.
Yeah.
So,
by the way,
you know, I just can't see. And he's a great kid. And
yes.
You know, he has killed all of his interviews.
I figured.
And then, you know, so I just don't see there's any way he goes past 20. But I think he's a lottery guy.
Curtis and I talked about this as soon as he declared and was going to be gone for good, that whatever teams interview Bam Adebayo are going to fall in love with him. I mean, you know, the first times we interviewed him, thoughtful, thought-provoking, funny,
right?
You know, bright kid, bright young man.
Yep.
So, yeah, there, whoever drafts him is going to feel really good about him.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Now,
you
Malik know, Monk worked – I we could talk all night about him. I hate to move you along, Rex. But Malik Monk worked out for the Knicks, said he liked the triangle offense. Had dinner with him. Phil Jackson didn't talk much, but there's talk. But there was also talk about Malik playing the point guard for New York. And somebody from Philly asked me about him as a point guard. I said, I know he's built like one and would be a smallish two guard, but what kind of future? What do you see in his future?
You know, if there's a if there's an era that he can play the one in, it's this era where you have scoring ones and all that. However, I still – now, can he get there? Malik's still just, what, 19, maybe 20?
Yeah.
You know, he's still young, and he is so talented, so wildly talented. We you know, and especially with him because he's so slight, you know, we got to remember with that athleticism, he's going to be 25 someday. And what's he going to look like then? He still may be, you know, slight, but he's going to be a grown man by then, and it's really hard to pass on his type of athletic juice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got it in spades. You talk about electric. Now, defensively, he has a ways to go. And then his decision-making from the point guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a natural born scorer and shooter. So, you know, I don't see him lasting very long. I don't know that you want to, especially in New York, if you want to put, you know, trust Malik, right, 19 years old, not a natural point guard to try to get you in and out of the triangle every time down the floor.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a tall order.
I'm glad to hear you say that because I felt the same way, but
you
know a heck of a lot more about it than I do. Rex Chapman joining us. He, of course, is part of NBA Network coverage. Are you where are you going to be at the draft? What are you doing on draft night?
I'm not. I'm going to be back. I'll be back in Lexington next week. I'm in Los Angeles. I did the radio,
right?
You know, tune in for the finals, NBA finals, and that was a blast. Just got done. I've got a little bit of time to kill here. I'll come back next week and probably just watch, find a place there in Lexington to watch the draft.
Well, we may drag you in here at some point. One other question before Curtis pops his big question to you. But what do you see for Isaiah?
I've said all along, I don't think Isaiah gets drafted.
Right.
But he'll get some money to go play summer league with somebody, and I see him making a roster. I don't know.
You've always loved him.
I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy. You know, everybody questioned Keith Bogans when he came out,
right?
And they're different. Keith could shoot it, and Keith had the size of a legitimate two guard.
Right.
And Keith didn't see himself as a defender when he came out of Kentucky. He figured out that was how he was going to get a job every single year. And he became that guy.
Yep.
Isaiah's different, but Isaiah can defend. He does. He's sort of a jack of all trades, master of none.
Right.
But he's long, and he's barrel-chested, big hands. He's got to continue improving his shot, but he's declared to, you know, play professionally now, so now he can work on it like a pro does.
Right.
And he'll put that time in. I see him making a team. Could be a year from now. It could be two. I have to spend some time in the D League or overseas.
Yep.
But I see him playing in the NBA.
Good. All right. Curtis has been dying to ask you this question.
Yeah.
What do you think about De'Aaron Fox's comments that his motivation in the second UCLA game was to shut LeVar Ball up?
I love it. I love that he said it. You know, I don't know that I would have even said it if had it been true at 18 or 19 years old. But I think there's a lot of truth in it. You know, we were embarrassed by UCLA when they came into our building early in the year. It was a great game, but look, we're Kentucky. We don't get beat at home by anybody. And they embarrassed us. And I think that stuck with our guys. And then LeVar, you know, say what you want, but about a month to go in the season, he started opening its mouth, and that team went on a nosedive. They went from a certain one seed,
that's true,
maybe two, to a four in a matter of a month.
You're right.
And it all, you know, sort of coincided with LeVar sort of going on his PR tour. So I love it, and I love that De'Aaron put it out there. I love that he said that's exactly what motivated him.
Curtis has a question now about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, which one? The one I just want to know why you hate LeBron James.
Me?
Yeah, you hate him. All you do is try to tear him down on Twitter.
That's not true. I love LeBron. You might construe my love for Stephen as me dissing LeBron, and that's just not the case.
Well, that's
Zeke, my son's 24. You know, Zeke,
right,
Dick.
Right.
He's the biggest LeBron fan there is.
Oh, really?
So I got to really tread lightly around Zeke. And he's pulled me over. I'm full-blown in love with LeBron and have been. But I'm probably not as outspoken about it because I was there when Stephen was born.
Were you really?
Yeah, you know that. Remember, they stayed two doors down from me.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I used to change Stephen's diapers.
That's
He's my first little
right.
NBA buddy.
Because, yeah, we came to visit you in Charlotte.
So you,
right.
Yeah. Do you take credit for his form?
Yeah. You know what's funny? You guys will like this, though. We were out the other night after one of the games and with Stephen and Sonya and Dell and their whole family and everything. Yeah. Everybody was having a good time, and I went over in between Stephen and Sonya, and I looked over at Stephen, and I said to his parents, tonight's not the night we let him know where that gap in his teeth came from, right? So they all, she kind of slapped me, and they all just fell out laughing.
That's funny, yeah. But his dad knew how to hit a jump shot, didn't he?
Sure did. He was the first guy I ever played. Well, I take that back. At the time, I didn't realize Derek Miller was a better shooter than I was. Later, I figured it out. So Dell was the second guy I ever played with who I knew right away was a better shooter than I was.
He was. In fact, he was absolutely special.
Yeah.
All right. Now, TV ratings were incredible for this series. And I've heard talking heads debate. It's because of LeBron. No, it's because of the super team.
Right.
My contention is it was because it was LeBron against the super team. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, we can – I think we all forget, and it was a different time, but let's not forget that we watched – have you watched Lakers-Celtics thing?
Not yet. I've got it in my DVR.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah.
But come on. The Lakers had three top 50 players of all time
exactly.
on their team. Celtics did too.
Yes.
Or, you know, yeah. So there have been super teams in this league.
Thank you.
It goes in, it sort of ebbs and flows and power shifts and all this and that. Well, I got to tell you, the Warriors have won two, and they're a Steph Curry injury from winning three.
Yeah.
And all of those guys are either right at or entering their prime.
That's right.
And the league has a problem on its hand trying to beat these Warriors the next 4 or 5 years. They may end up with 5 or 6 trophies, health permitting.
Don't you think that the knock on the quote-unquote super teams is the fact that Look, the Lakers were constructed by their front office. The Celtics, they trade for Dennis Johnson. That was a huge deal. They draft Larry Bird and took advantage of the Larry Bird rule, which changed after that. You know, Kyle Macy played in Phoenix because of the Larry Bird rule. People forget that. But the super teams, quote unquote, they've been engineered by the players, which I think is what ticks people off.
Well, is it?
And that's
Yeah, the player desire. Well, it's the player's desire to go there. But listen, there's a lot of stuff that has to go on. Kevin Durant just can't say, "I'm going to leave," and leave. He can, and then leave his team high and dry. But many times, you want the other team to be compensated. So there is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. And if you're, you know, Bob Myers in Golden State, you know, it takes a lot. I can tell you that thing was in the works for over a year, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on. There's a lot of salary cap stuff that has to go on. You got to create room, you got to make room, you got to be able to present it. You know, to the agent. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and maybe it's changed a little bit, but I'm not sure I would change it right now. I love what we're watching.
So does LeBron go to the Lakers or Clippers in 2 years?
Boy, they'd run him out of Cleveland if he leaves. I'd say Lakers if there's anything. I do know that he bought a house out here in Brentwood.
That's true.
But that was about a year ago.
Okay.
So,
and unfortunately, there was some ugliness there. But, yeah, that's
true.
But, look, you know, and I'm not going to sweep you into the LeBron versus Michael Jordan debate. But, look, that's –
You can.
Okay. Sure. Well, we'll go ahead and jump in, and this will be your last question.
Yeah, Michael. Michael. In fact, I took a guy in. I do the tune-in show sometimes with a guy named Jason Pugh. And Jason Pugh lives in D.C., and he's a kind of an up-and-coming sort of radio guy. And he's the biggest LeBron lover we've ever been around, any of us. And we were giving him hell on air the other night about, you know, he's picking – they were down 3-0, and he was picking them in seven, half the Cavs. And so we went over into the NBA suite. We finished our show. We went up, you know, into the found the suite. And we go in, and I said, "Jason, go sit right over there." He went, "That's Scottie Pippen." I said, "Go sit next to Scottie. I'll be right there." I went over. I introduced him to Scottie. I said, "Scottie, best player you ever played with or seen in your life." And he turned right to Jason and said, "MJ." I said, "Not me telling you. Not some guy telling you. It's Scottie Pippen telling you right now." So, anyway, here's how I feel. Michael's the best I ever saw and ever played against. The more you watch LeBron, you know, and Curtis, how old are you?
29.
Okay, Zeke's 24. Dick.
Yeah.
Yes, LeBron is supposed to be their guy. Yep. Dr. J was our guy.
That's
Larry
right.
Bird was our guy.
That's right.
Michael Jordan was our guy. They didn't see those guys in their prime.
Right.
They just don't, you know, they were children. Now they're seeing the best thing they've ever seen. And it's not Kobe Bryant.
That's right.
It's LeBron James.
That's right.
And you know what? I'm not sure I can argue.
No.
And here's the other thing. He'd have been a star in any era.
Absolutely.
Throw that out there. Here's the other. Never came straight out of high school. Never had a misstep. If you want to call the decision a misstep, go right ahead. He's carried himself and his family, represented himself, his family, his kids, Cleveland, the league, impeccably.
I agree. And he hasn't, you know, gone for the bait that's been put out there for him, and you got to respect him for that as well. Hey, man, I love talking to you, as you well know, because we kill time in the parking lot talking basketball.
Of course.
So we hope to talk to you next week about the draft.
You let me know.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
See you.
See you, Curtis.
Rex Chapman. Doesn't hate LeBron. You heard it here first, and you heard it here last. Back in a minute, 6:30, WLAP.
Well, I'm hot-blooded. Check it and see. I got a fever of 103.
That sounds about right.
Come on, baby, do you do more than that?
Were you satisfied with Mr. Chapman's answer about LeBron? No. You don't buy that. You think you?
We were running out of time. He put out some things about MJ never would have gotten in a chance to be swept by the Warriors. I think the Warriors are far and away better than any of those teams, and you can yell at me all you want. I think the Lakers were not what the Warriors were. Kareem was 400 years old when they hit their prime.
Oh, there's just no satisfying.
I just don't think that there's ever been two MVPs in their prime on the same team.
There might have been, but I can't think of one.
Exactly.
Right. Well, no, actually, yes, I can. The Lakers.
When?
I'm not sure which year, but you got to think Magic and or...
Kareem was 7 million. Kareem was old.
And yet still great.
Well, it's fine, but he was old. I said in the prime.
When Magic got to the Lakers, Kareem was still in his prime.
Magic wasn't in his prime because he was just a rookie. I win.
Neil Price next, 630 WLAP. My feet keep going. Not a little hot. By the way, what did you have in there? What does your thermostat say?
It was at 86.
Yeah, you got me by 2, 84 in here. We're not complaining. We're just saying, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, you know, we're going to gut it out.
I just hope my computer monitor doesn't melt here.
Are you on till midnight?
Yep.
What you need to do is when you're done with the show, put everything on autopilot, get out of there, shut the door, and then watch through the window as everything melts.
On it.
That'd be great. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. And coming up on the Celebrity Hotline, we'll go to him right now, in fact. We have a caller from the earlier in the show is back on the line. Is that right, Curtis?
Yeah, he's on 3.
All right. Well, we will get to him momentarily because I need to talk to my buddy, Neil Price, who is now, and every time he's been on the show, countless times, he's been on this show more than Alec Baldwin has hosted SNL. It's always been, I introduce him as the radio voice of the baseball and women's basketball Wildcats. Now he's the radio voice of Mississippi State University. Neil Price, how has your day been, sir? We talked earlier, but your phone almost melted down, didn't it?
It I've used it a lot today, surprisingly. But it's been a good day. It's always bittersweet, I think, when you're leaving a place that has been home for a long time, where you've made a lot of good friends and you've got tons of great memories. But this is an opportunity that I've been dreaming about for a long time, and it was hard to imagine any scenario where I couldn't have said yes when they offered me the job. So. We're excited for what lies ahead. We're thankful for 13 wonderful years here and the friends and the memories that we've been able to make. And, I hope everyone understands that none of this is possible today without all of the great things that have happened here. And I will not be quick to forget that.
Well, I mean, you met your wife here, so you're always going to have fond memories of Central Kentucky. And I know she's a Hazard girl and close to her family. And moving away is sometimes daunting. You moved away from Morristown, Tennessee, though, and this is all part of it. It's not like the gypsy lifestyle that a lot of people in the media, every 2 years they change jobs. You know, you're going someplace where you can sink some roots again.
Yeah, and, you know, I've told this to a couple people over the course of the last day or so. There aren't a lot of places that you can go to, and you don't get to choose in this business all the time. You know, you kind of have to look at, you know, what's available at that moment, and, you know, what's the good Lord got in store for you? His plans are always pretty good, and I said I'm thankful that Mississippi State's the one that was there because, you know, I can walk in. I'm not going to be a stranger. I've got friends that are already there that are either, you know, in administration, on coaching staff, that live in the community. You know, we're going to know people when we get there, and that makes this so much easier. Starkville, Mississippi is roughly the same size as Morristown, Tennessee, where I grew up.
Oh, okay.
That really appealed to me. The people are very similar, so in some ways it's a lot like home.
Yeah.
You know, even though I've never lived there a day, it's a lot like home, and I'm really excited about that.
And you know what's fascinating about this move is having known and worked with John Cohen. You know, obviously I filled in for Neil on radio, and I produced John's TV show. And when you travel with a team, you get to know people. And as you well know, John Cohen is a huge fan of radio. He's a weather weenie. If he weren't in sports and sports administration, he'd be a weatherman somewhere. But he grew up loving radio. He loves listening to baseball on the radio. And I really think that in addition to your relationship with him, that was really important. He knows a good broadcaster when he hears one.
Well, and I hope that's the case. And
sure,
the other thing that the other thing I think is that the position, just in talking to people in Starkville in the last day or so, the position is an important one there because of the history and because of Jack Kristol and because of what Jim Ellis has done since Jack retired and passed. And I think that there is a tradition of being in Mississippi and listening to the game on the radio and following the team if you can't be there in person. And, you know, I'm excited about being at a place where that's important. I think that's the case here. I think Kaywood Ledford really, really established this deal where it was what you did. You wanted to listen to the game, and he was the link for a long time, and then it was Ralph, and now it's Tom, you know. And I think it's special, and not every place is like that. I think sometimes in the larger markets and in the SEC and the other Power Five leagues, radio just gets lost because every game's on TV and there's so much clutter and congestion. But when you go to these places, you know, like the Southeastern Conference, when you get out into, you know, the two Mississippi schools, when you get into, you know, other spots like LSU, obviously got a huge following, Missouri, A&M, you know, I just think that people embrace that. And, you know, they still do in Tennessee. I know that, you know, so. Yeah. I'm excited about that part of it, and I'm going to embrace that part. I know people will be a lot more critical of me because of that, and I'm ready for that.
Absolutely. But as you mentioned, Jack Kristol and Jim Ellis and Ralph and Kaywood, you know, you just don't replace a guy like a Kaywood Ledford. 39 years. Jack Kristol left Kaywood in terms of years served in the dust, man. What was it, 58 years?
58.
That's unbelievable. That just doesn't happen anymore.
No, but, and I told him in the interview process it would not happen here either.
But Jim Ellis, who is a fine broadcaster and a good guy, you know, he was the guy who followed. Everybody wants to be the guy who follows the guy. Like, nobody wanted to follow John Wooden. They wanted to follow the guy. Nobody wanted to follow Adolph Rupp except Joe B. But, they, you know, it's easier to follow the guy who takes all the flack. But you're going to be judged on every broadcast, aren't you?
Yeah, and you know, that's okay. Because, again, you don't get to pick. You know, you just have to hope that the opportunity presents itself. And when it does, you're ready. And, yeah, the thing that has been so encouraging about all of this is the people who have reached out from Starkville in the last day or two since things started to slowly kind of get out down there. And you know, people have been very welcoming. You know, hey, we can't wait for you to get here. We know you're going to do a great job, you know, reassuring, you know, encouraging, all those things. And I just to be honest, I don't think I ever really expected that. I just thought it'd be, you'll get there and people will come around and go, hey, how you doing, you know, good to see you, whatever, you know, and that kind of be it. And they've been very proactive in that regard. And that's just reaffirmed that we're doing the right thing.
Well, yeah, but, you know, knowing you as well as I do, you're never going to seek out that kind of attention, number one. Number two, you're never going to think of yourself as a celebrity, but that's what you are now, especially when you're the voice in even a smaller SEC town. But it might be a small town, but it's a huge deal. In any college town when there's a new radio voice. We're talking with Neil Price, the new voice of Mississippi State sports. 13 years here at Kentucky. Baseball, women's basketball, and some men's basketball games as well. So that said, let me ask you, can you list, people have probably already asked you, but what are the high points? Other than meeting a guy like Curtis Birch, what are the high points that you leave behind here in terms of your career?
Well, I think you always go to the championships first. So that 2006 run with baseball, and then obviously the championship with the women's basketball team, where they really came from out of nowhere in about a 2-year stretch to get it done with Matthew and that great core of players, you know, Victoria Dunlap and Amber Smith and Carly Morrow, you know, among others. I think those two are the first ones that kind of jump out. That first win against Tennessee up at Rupp, golly, 2000, that would have been 2006. Yeah, that would have been in 6 too, I guess, January.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I remember Sarah Elliott tipping the ball when they tried to throw it in. And, you know, Stasha Alcius made some big free throws. Jenny Pfeiffer made some big ones. You know, that was that's something that stands out. For the wrong reasons, 21 innings in Gary, Indiana stands out.
Yeah.
You know, and someone brought that up in a broadcast, had sent a tweet during one of the baseball games during the tournament, and I just looked at it and went, ugh. You know, I mean, that was my thought about that whole deal.
Right.
But that's what immediately comes to mind. I mean, obviously, watching A.J. Reed play baseball was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was he was such a terrific player. And, I don't know. I don't know that I could put them all into a list for you that quick. But those are some that come to mind pretty quick all the time when you think about it. And the other thing is just the relationships you've built with people. You know, I mean, you just, when you come to a new place, you never know what to expect. And, I think I felt like I had a really good relationship. And, you know, and even talking to him this morning for a few minutes, I think, you know, I became friends with Matthew Mitchell over the course of our time together. I think that, you know, Nick and I have a pretty good friendship just based on when he was here before and obviously back now as a head coach, and I certainly cherish that. And Gary Henderson, probably, you know, for those 8 years, became as close a friend as anybody I had here, and I'm looking forward to seeing Gary again and you know, being around him and getting to pick his brain and cut up with him a little bit, you know. So, all that stuff has been, and then obviously John too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, John was here for. I had a friend of mine tell me the other day. He said the great irony in all of this is that the guy you're going to work for, John Cohen, he said you met this guy day one.
Yeah.
When you were on the job
in
mid March in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, first baseball game I ever did, and he said, "You would have never guessed at that moment that now, you know, 13 years later, this is the guy that's, you know, going to be there, and he's going to be there with you, and he's, you know, you did enough that at that point, you know, over those 3 years to make an impression where when he had an opportunity, he thought about you, you know. So that's, yeah, there's some irony in that, but I didn't quite think about it in those terms, I don't guess, but that's kind of cool.
Neil, this is Curtis, and I just wanted to get confirmation here that we had a tweet earlier, and it said that, so this trade is complete with Neil Price going to MSU, Mingione to UK for Henderson, and a player to be named later. So you're the player to be named later, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm the player to be named later, and I don't know if there are any cash considerations in the deal, but yeah, I'm the player to be named later, I guess. So,
I think they're throwing in a bag of baseballs.
That's about all I'm worth. Yeah, that's about all I'm worth. So
I do want to ask you this, Neil, on a serious note. What does it mean to you to be a part that moment Monday night, beating NC State, the weather, the Sweet Caroline? I mean, that's kind of, you know, that was your last hurrah. Obviously, they get to the Super Regional and get, you know, swept out by Louisville. But, you know, kind of looking back, and you mentioned a lot of those other moments. But in that moment, I mean, how sweet was that?
Oh, it's one of those, too. You'd put on that list, and I guess it's just so fresh in your mind, you know, that you haven't had time to process it, you know, historically with all that other stuff. But no, that's a high moment for the program because it never happened before, you know. So I think it's cool, and the atmosphere was, you know, I mean, if that's the last game I'll ever do in that ballpark, then that's a pretty good way to go out, you know, because that was a great crowd, and you know, it was obviously the stakes were awfully high there, and third win inside of 2 days to you know, not only win that regional but get in the Supers for the first time in school history. That was awesome. I mean, you know, and I hope people, now that they've been there and they've been able to watch and see what those guys are doing, I hope that they'll keep turning out like that. Don't make that something you only do when they suddenly get on a run. I hope they'll show up right out of the gate and give those guys that kind of support because, you know, they're working hard to build something special over there, and having fan base and having all those people behind them is an important part of it.
Yep. Well, I'm sure Mom and Dad are happy. I'm not sure if you're any closer to Morristown than you are from here, but you're not going to be too far away. And like I said, I'm sure they're very proud. And I'm so happy for you. I hate to see you go, but we'll be in touch. And you've earned this shot, and you will crush it. I am convinced.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and we appreciate your kindness. And you know, everybody that we've come to know, certainly there at WLAP and in that group at iHeart, they've been fantastic. You know, and with the way things have changed here in the last couple of years with regard to the network and all the origination coming out of there, I've built some really great relationships with people there that obviously we're thankful for. But you know, it's a happy moment. Let's put it that way, and I'm thrilled about it. Even though we're gonna leave a lot of good friends. Good thing is, State and Kentucky playing a lot of stuff.
That's right.
I'll be back in Lexington a whole lot. You know, there's always a football game every year, and there's always at least one basketball game. And you know, that part's gonna be good. And I'm kind of excited about that game on October 21st. You know, it'll be good to see everybody again. You know, and I'll see everybody again between now and then. But it'll be great to kind of see everybody and be in that different role. And I think that'll be a lot of fun. I do. I'm looking forward to that.
I fully agree. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you. Neil Price, the radio voice of Mississippi State, and already has a new Twitter account, Curtis, doesn't he? Hail State Voice. That's their deal, if you don't know. But Mississippi State, they love to say Hail State. And so the voice of Hail State, Neil Price. John, thanks for waiting. What's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much. Now, since Neil Price is gone, I can take over. Is it the announcer for the women's basketball and baseball?
I've heard that they're going to come after you, John. Is that right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Look, man, you've got the recall. You can remember every game, every score. Why wouldn't they want you?
That'd be great.
That would be great.
I didn't know who told you that.
Just what the that's a word on the street, John.
Okie dokie.
Now I'm just having fun with you. They'll find somebody who does a great job, and just like Neil did. He won't be the same as Neil though, will he?
No, but I think you can take over and I can be your assistant.
That sounds good to me, John.
That'd be great.
That sounds good.
That way I can be part of it.
You can always recall the games that I can't.
That's right.
That's right.
I think it'd be great. Hey, if you take over and I'd be your assistant. I would love that.
I'll be
listening.
I'll pitch that to Mitch Barnhart as soon as I can.
Okie dokie. And we got a new football commitment.
How about that? Another one out of Michigan. That gives Kentucky the number one, according to Rivals and SEC Country. Number one and number eight players in the state of Michigan.
Okay, I thought we got the one from Knoxville, Tennessee, who's a junior college transfer. I thought we got him.
That happened last night.
That was. You're a recruit behind, John.
So I know we got one from Michigan, another one from Michigan. I didn't know that.
How about
so we
that?
We got two from Michigan.
How about that?
That's blessed news.
That is good news, isn't it, John?
It's
John,
indeed.
I'm up against the break, brother. I got to go. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Thank
all right.
You.
We'll take a break and come back and wrap up this edition of the Big Blue Insider here on 630 WLAP. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Put all the money in a little roll again. When you're hot, you're hot. Well, we are. And it probably, I don't know, unless they have plans to fix this Monday morning, it may not change.
There's rumors about this weekend.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
There's rumblings.
Rumblings. All right. We'll live with that.
Waiting for it to be confirmed by Adrian Wojnarowski.
It's going to get a lot hotter in here on Sunday morning when Berger comes in, but I'll leave you to handle that. One other note, we've only got about 2 minutes left, but we've been quoting the SEC Country stories on Kentucky football, and one writer talks about, he kind of breaks down all the great qualities of each quarterback, not all of them, but the greatest quality of all the quarterbacks in the league. Interesting offseason story. And he starts off by talking about Steven Johnson's advantage over Drew Barker in that Kentucky, and I've said this and I've had coaches tell me this, Kentucky needs to run something other than smash mouth, some kind of option attack, something that, they, as he writes, tips the scale in their favor. Well, he writes about the fact that Steven Johnson brings the option elements to the Wildcat offense. And in a way he does, but Kentucky doesn't really run an option offense. He gives them a quarterback who can break it and run, but he calls Johnson a power runner at quarterback, likely to run through a defender's face as well as dance around them. Does that sound like him to you?
Wait, Is this a different Steven Johnson?
Evidently.
Is there a new recruit?
Evidently.
I mean, listen, I think he's an amazing quarterback, and I've stated from the beginning that he's going to be the starter this season, but he ain't running over anybody.
No, he is not a power quarterback. And he talked about how later in the year Kentucky did more and more. No, Johnson was hurt. He wasn't running over anybody. Gives him credit for being a good passer, but guy needs to watch a little more video or just come on the show with us. Thanks to Rex Chapman, Neil Price, congratulations to him again, and to Champ Kelly. Have a great Father's Day weekend. For Curtis Birch, Dick Gabriel, that's it. Good night from Lexington.
E-H-4-M, potato shape, coffee mug shape, smudge, smudge, middle finger, smudge. The rest are all smudges.
Oh, my God, you drove us here.